go. Welcome to the Afterthought Podcast. We are back. I'm your man, Joe Hill. I got Tiff Tonto in the building. JP is going to join us a little later. I'm excited to be back with y'all, talk about a bunch of stuff. We are live in a bunch of locations. Let me just pay those bills first. We are on Facebook Live, the Afterthought Podcast, and we are live on Livit. That's right. One of the hottest streaming services platform that's allowing artists to empower themselves and be creative. So we are here, Tiff. What's good, Tiff? I'm going to start saying
what's
Tiff.
What's going on, Joe? Long time. No, don't call me Tiffany. I don't like when guys call me Tiffany. Don't do that. It's Tiff. This just seems so feminine when a man says Tiffany. It's like, relax. Tiffany. Yeah, don't do that.
Yes, but a long time, like you were saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's been a long time. You've been out of town working, mm-hmm. you know, staying busy, you know, looking good out there doing what you do. I'm just here snowing and shit right up here in Syracuse.
Yeah, wait, y'all got snow up there? Y'all serious?
Yes, it started snowing, I think, Monday.
And you got inches?
It's not really. Like,
you ain't got feet coming, or you got inches? Like,
no, we got like a little film. No inches yet. We got film, like just a reminder, like, bitch, right. we out here.
You can't. So. you know, pretty much, it covers the lines in the street. That's about it. It just covers the lines in the street.
Yeah, it's like, bitch, we here. So now what? Get
Is
ready.
Is it cold though? Is it cold? Because you know,
it was
when
cold.
It snows, it's still. It's actually warmer outside.
It's warmer during the snow.
Okay.
While it's snowing, it's warmer. But before the snow and after the snow has fallen,
yes.
it's fucking cold. Okay. And you know, I'm African American. It's not good for my skin.
Definitely.
Or
are.
My bones. So
definitely
yeah,
are.
I don't like that.
I know you're down under the weather. How you feeling?
I feel a little stuffy, a little congested. You know, my nostril is way open. Like, it's like so much wind going up there. I don't know what to do. So uncomfortable. So uncomfortable.
Like, did I lose something? I'm getting too much airflow going up top.
Yeah, too much airflow. Like, my brain, I got brain freeze now. It's too much air going up
there. That time of the year where the weather is changing. I think I saw a meme on Facebook. It was like, Thanksgiving is next week, but November started yesterday. Like, how the hell is that even happening? Like, we still think we in the spring because the COVID. So this is the time to bundle up and make sure you are going outside. I need my scarf set. I don't have one. I need one.
Especially with the flu season, you know, and then you're going to think every symptom you get is COVID. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's been told to us since March, you know what I mean, or February, so to speak. So nothing is a common cold anymore. Nothing is just, you know, an allergy. Everything is COVID. Mm-hmm. COVID canceled out everything.
Yeah, it did.
So
I will say that I definitely agree with you on that. I've been definitely moving around. I've been keeping safe. For those that know me, getting tested when I land, before I land, whether I was in Atlanta, California, Baltimore, last week. And let me just start with that. Baltimore, you know, I did a show out there with Stiletto. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
Stiletto.
She is so funny.
She was hosting the Stiletto and Friends, and Marsha Brandon was headlining. And when we got to Baltimore, you know, it's my first time performing in Baltimore. Many years I've been I've never performed in Baltimore. So there's always the perception driving in, you know. So we drive
like it's gonna be hood, super hood.
You know, super hood, just beat the fuck up, poor, just real bad. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. That's exactly what the fuck is in Baltimore. It ain't.
Yeah.
It's abandoned apartment. Abandoned.
Maryland is better.
I mean, it's it got me to a point where I wanted to give my show pay and cash app it to the mayor of Baltimore. Like, they need to hold some money. Like, the cop cars is looking. Now I see why Timmy... you know, retire. You know, Timmy from Baltimore.
Timmy is like, fuck that.
He said, you see my car, right? I said, now, Timmy, I text him, this is bullshit out here, Timmy.
Was he on the show?
No, he wasn't. It was a couple of female comedians. Chi-Chi, the comedian, shout out to her. Damn Fool, who I'm sure folks that follow comedy, he's been on Wildin' Out. He was on there, Marshall Brandon, myself, and Stiletto. But it was dope. It was a dope experience. I'm back. But, before I bring, matter of fact, JP's in the building.
Oh, good.
I got my, so I'm off my water challenge. I'm thinking of starting another one.
What do you mean you're off of it? Once you start it, you just keep it. And then, you know, if you have another drink, it's just predominantly you're drinking water all the time.
There you go. Jay, you
hear do 50 days. So how do
yo.
No, you didn't. I started before you.
First of all, pull me to the side. Don't do that on air. Pull me to the side.
Yo.
JP, what up, JP?
What up? I'm not going to be able to stay on too long.
Okay.
Hold on.
We only have one guest.
First of all, hold up. Time out. How you come on like a light-skinned Christopher Williams right now and going, I can't be here.
First of all, ain't Christopher Williams light-skinned?
Yeah, he is.
And he had Halle Berry, too.
But it's fine. It's fine. We know you at a private event. It's probably a post-brunch evening. You got. I smell wine in the air over there where you're at. I
smell good times over there. He's all blushing and shit.
That's what good times smell like.
He got on a gray sweatshirt. So does that?
I got on a gray polo sweatpants? Thermal.
That's the after work outfit right there. He changed.
He got on gray sweatpants.
Yo, you know I'm looking for trouble. Like, so,
how are you, Jay? How are you, bro?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I'm actually here taking care of some stuff with the fam. Everyone's good. So because I would be in and out, I don't want to like
be rude,
be choppy.
We appreciate
and
you.
So since everybody took their week, I'm gonna fake take my week today.
He keep looking over his shoulder like I'm coming.
I know, like who's about to jump out?
Hey, fuck. We gonna talk about it though.
I mean, now that I got you here, let's get into one topic, and then
yeah, we can talk a little bit.
I wanna tell you real quickly about my Karen moment on the airline. I was coming back.
Oh yes, please.
Callie knows that. No, I be itching. There's some people that be. You see the news and you be like, I wish that. Like, sign me up for one of them situations. I was waiting for it. Didn't think it would come in this form. I get on my plane last. Those that know me, I'm going to give you the quick version. I like to get on my planes last because it's COVID and don't rush me. I'm getting on that plane. I'm going to get to that gate. Don't worry about it. Plus, I like to board last, like I was saying. So I get on the plane. I get to my row. 21D. Remember that. Remember 21D. It's very important. I get to my seat. 21D. I'm like, oh, shit. Anybody in my row? This is nice right here. You know, because I got on late. I'm like, wait a minute. I ain't never had a whole row to Cali. Never. I mean, coming from Cali to New York. Either way, never had a whole row. So I said, oh shit, let me take my sneakers off. You know how you turn to the side, you put your feet up.
Yeah.
Look, I'm ordering drinks and shit. I said, this is better than first. This is better than first class. I'm leaning. I got three TVs in this bitch. Yo.
I got three TVs. I'm in a whole sports bar in this motherfucker.
I got ESPN going, Nickelodeon, and a movie on. Come on, son. Halfway through the flight. Here come 24F. You know 24F, that's a window seat. She was kind of tall too, so she looked like she was tight. She comes to my row and she taps me on my sneaker, my socks. I'm like, who the fuck? She goes, can I sit here?
No.
No.
Word, let her finish. She got to give me a reason why.
I like I got COVID.
She got to give me a reason why. Can I sit here? Because, you know, as you can see, I'm tall like you. And, you know, I need this aisle seat so I can be comfortable. So I lean in and I said, well,
that's why I'm here.
I said, well, that sounds like a personal problem. Your seat is 24F, bitch. I need you to go back to your seat.
You said that, Joe.
I didn't say the fuck part, but I said, I'm going to need you to go back.
Joe got manners, Tim.
I'm manners, but I don't give a fuck at the same time. Let's not go there on the plane. So this bitch, excuse my language, anybody watching at home, she tries to cause a scene. This is unbelievable.
Oh, hell no.
First of all, I cut my little light out first. You know, the little light first. I had to cut my light out first. I said, I know this bitch gonna try me. Let me cut my light off in the air off first.
Joe, you on a red eye? Were you on a red eye?
I was on a 9 a.m. flight out of San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
She gonna go, this is the shit I be talking about. I said, time out. First things first, I'm gonna need you to get yourself together. Second of all, because you know when you, because you gotta talk to them like you they parent. First of all,
Tim, you hear Dean Hill? You hear first Dean Hill?
Second of all, your ticket says 24 fucking F. First of all, let's just establish.
And
that,
the F right? is for fucking.
And the F is for fuck out of right? here.
Third of all, you ain't never really been through no struggle because you talking like you're very privileged right now. This is the shit right. I'm talking about. So let's not even do that. That's what we not. I did the comment.
So that's the behavior I'm talking about.
I couldn't get my phone on fast enough. Somebody probably recorded my shit. I'm probably on WorldStar and don't know it yet. But the best line. You know how when your mother's pissed at you and they so mad, they go, they do this shit. I looked at her in her eye. I said, Miss, you gonna take your ass to 24F and sit the fuck down so we could get to New York. Yo, the flight attendant was just like,
good.
Sit the fuck down.
Sit your ass down.
But yeah, I had a moment.
Sit the fuck down.
The climate is crazy. That's funny. The climate is crazy. We got a few minutes before we bring Mary in.
How Spike Lee? So Joe, I'm watching the draft real quick, but go I got to roll. I like the Obi Toppin pick. Top left. But
yes. The Knicks. This is where Tiffany drowns out on us because she doesn't watch.
Sorry, her. Tiff.
The draft is on. Yeah.
The Knicks actually did a good thing tonight.
Give your sports report, Jay.
So in a horrible world of 2020, the Knicks did a phenomenal job with who they drafted. We did not expect Obi Toppin.
I didn't.
A New York City kid who went to school in Westchester.
Good parents. His father don't play.
And Joe and I know he used to be up at Dykeman. Shout to Kenny Stevens, the whole Dykeman team, all the New York City ballers.
Tiff, you looking like you never thought anybody from the Knicks was cute at any point. Don't even sit here act like you wasn't like Carmelo could get it. Like Carmelo, hold up. Not Evelyn. Tiff is lying.
He's got a big face.
What?
He's got a big face.
Yo, how you measure somebody's face, Tiff? You check the circumference and diameter on somebody's face, Joe.
Yes, that's a big face.
But no, Jay, I feel you. The Knicks did their thing, and I'm hoping. What's the next move for us? Do you think?
Now you know they pick again at 23rd.
Okay.
After they made the trade with Utah, they got a European guard.
I'm worried my New York teams are the reason why my health has it. You know, my health is up and down.
I think it is
when we root for these teams, we get. I got high my blood bros pressure. Here with me.
Cool with us.
What's good, fam?
Hello. What's
good
with you? Yo. Got the cool over there.
Got the Bristol right there.
You see Joe?
Okay. Got the whole squad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is why JP don't have time for us. He's got a party going.
JP has an unofficial draft party and an unknown.
You know, we teammates. We teammates, like we was playing, we've been playing ball from seventh grade together.
No, I know.
Aww.
And then me and this guy since kindergarten together.
Oh, wow.
And then the three of us, you can check on the Instagram.
Look, neither of these niggas is going to the NBA tonight. And they
We not. Yeah, but we drink it like we are.
For real. No, it's this is something I wanted to ask you, Tiff. I know you don't watch basketball, but think about it. The first pick in the draft, the number one pick, those that's watching at home on Live It, those that know sports, especially the NBA, when you are the first pick in the draft, and it's always been like this, I don't want to quote me, but back early 80s, maybe even a little later, but the first pick gets $1 million cash in a briefcase. A lot of people don't know that. So, I'm dead serious.
Yo, Joe, you gonna get us cut off for talking these secrets, bro.
I wouldn't lie to you, Tiff.
Joe, be careful. Next thing you know, they're gonna start saying you Illuminati.
He's going home. He's going home in an Uber XL. Trust me, he ain't going home.
Joe,
like, I see y'all niggas.
Yo, it's COVID. They all at home.
That's right. But his money is there already. That check is there already. First pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, so my question
is... So the first 30 picks, all got a briefcase.
Yeah.
Well, can I be a pick? Shit, I'll play basketball for $1 million.
Top 15 got the bag.
I'll sit on the bench for $1 million.
But the first... Listen, the top 15, so Tiff, it breaks down like this. If you top 15, that means you lottery. To be in the lottery, that means you securing
the bag.
8 figures over the next 3 years.
Not even a bag. You're securing the suitcase.
Yeah, you get you're guaranteed close to 8 figures.
Yep.
Starting from the highest end, about 19 to 20 million.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
To number 15 to about 12 or 13.
That's wonderful.
But if you're a top 30 pick, Tiff, if you won top 30 pick, you get guaranteed, you're guaranteed millionaire for 3 years.
Guaranteed. Oh, wow.
Multi-millionaire, guaranteed.
That's amazing.
That's why you got to tell Layla, you know, that's listen, watch, get her a fine young man that's headed to college.
No, let me tell you, Layla ain't shit. She keep telling me, Mom, we got to get you a sugar daddy. She's like, you need a sugar daddy.
Wait.
You don't need no sugar
daddy. Yo,
how am I trying to pawn me off? They trying to get me on a sugar daddy site and get me a sugar daddy.
The first problem, you live in Syracuse. That's a number of trees and snow up there. That's the first problem right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can't even send you on a blind date. I can't even send you on a blind date right now because you got to do a Zoom date. Jesus. But no, Jay, I'm glad you came on. We about to bring on our guest.
Yeah, bring him on. We gonna talk for a little bit.
All right, so this is what we gonna do. I love bringing on folks that are doing something, that are contributing to the culture. And those that know comedy, know there's influential people that are producing, performing, or just in different states. This woman in particular, Mary Cruz, before we bring her in.
Hey.
Comedian, producer, representing PA, Pittsburgh, she be everywhere. I mean, I've seen her in New York a few times too, and she works with a lot of comedians that I work with, and you know me, I'm a comedian, I'm a producer as well, so I'm glad to have her. So, without further ado, let's bring her on right now. Let's bring her in here.
Mary Cruz,
AKA known in the comedy game as Mary Eck.
No, Ma Eck.
It's Ma.
My bad. Don't shoot me. So she's on. Let me. Can you hear me?
Mary, why you bugging?
I'm gonna give her a second. I'm gonna keep her.
JP is lit.
I know. I'm on one, Tiff.
That's good.
But we feeling good. I'm feeling blessed.
That's good.
But all jokes aside, where's Mary?
I'm gonna get her in here.
Okay. No, I was just saying I didn't see her come in on my end. Sorry, guys.
Maybe she doesn't know how to do it. Cause I see her. Wait, here she go.
Oh, here we go. I see you.
Hi, Mary.
There we go.
Hello.
I think you're on mute.
You gotta come on mute, Mary.
We don't hear you.
Check your mute button. There we go. She's connecting.
There she go.
She's connecting. Uh-oh, there she go. There she go.
There she is.
Hey.
First of all, thank you for taking the time out to come on here and chat with us so we can get to know you. Taking the time out with COVID, you know, Trump losing. Just a lot going on in everybody's life. You know what I'm saying? You look real comfortable.
Absolutely.
You look like you're in the bed. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about. Comfortable. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. And I am comfortable. I'm not in the bed, but I am comfortable. Yes.
I appreciate you. You know, Tiff is one of our dope co-hosts on here, producers of the show. JP is our guy. This is my first time meeting you in person. I've seen you a lot of stuff on Facebook. And like, you know, the comedy game, we see each other. And the good thing about the pandemic is it brings people together. And we probably I'm glad. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, I know you do comedy. Some, you know, people know you as Ma Ank. You know, I had to get it right. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to mess it up. You know what I'm saying?
How'd you it's Ma EC.
See,
oh, Ma EC. See, I messed it up.
See, it's all love, though. It's all love.
I'm sorry.
So, talk to us about the name My EC and how you got started as a comedian first, and then we'll work our way to your journey as a producer. How did you get started in comedy?
Okay. I went to performing arts school, creative performing arts. So I actually started back when I was a young buck. I've always been that funny, yuck it up, silly person. Like to make and put smiles on people's faces. Mm-hmm. Officially, I started only 2 years ago. officially. I was doing it before, like in college, but it was certainly not a paid experience. It was just something that I was doing to entertain the people. And then eventually for a paid experience and so forth 2 years ago.
So, I mean, comedy, where did you find your funny?
Which way you want me to turn this? Which one is better?
You hit your angles, Mary. Hit your angles, girl.
That's what I'm doing.
You hit your angles right. We see you. Hey, ooh, ooh.
So what made you say, hey, in those 2 years, I need to do this. I want to pursue this. This is something I have a passion for. What was that driving force that said, I need to do this?
So would I use this maybe to use like
a... You know what? I think I'm clairvoyant, to be totally honest with you. No. It was something that I always wanted to do. And I said, what am I waiting for? What exactly am I waiting for? And then I had some tragedies happen in my life. I was teaching. I was a high school teacher. And I had students that I was losing to the streets and things. And finally, I had a student that was murdered. And the police officer were acquitted, and it was still murder.
Oh, wow.
So we lost a total of 6 kids in one school year. So it really became very, very difficult. Yeah. It was something that I decided, and life kind of decided for me as well. What else is there that I can do, or what am I able to bring to the community? What am I able to bring to young people that they can share in and as well as their families and things like that? So that's kind of where it came from.
So, JP, wow. I'm jumping in, Tiff jumping in, but I can relate to it. I'm an educator as well. And we have, in my 19 years of working in the Board of Ed in New York City, people that know me, I'm a dean of a high school. I've seen a lot of kids be lost to the streets. I've spoken and done a eulogy of kids I had since sixth grade, and one of them was gunned down a few years ago. And that was one of the hardest things. That was one of the hardest speeches I ever had to make. I tell jokes for a living, but I couldn't get the words out because we don't want that for even our own kids, you know? So,
right.
So yeah, Tiff, Jay, jump in there. Feel free.
So, Ma, I wanted to know, like, you just mentioned that because of the tragedy that happened in school, the series of unfortunate events that has happened, it made you say, okay, what am I waiting for? I'm gonna go into comedy. Was it because you just couldn't be, you had to get away from the students so that you wouldn't be emotionally attached? What made you say about that tragedy that, okay, I gotta leave this lane and start a whole new lane? And how has comedy helped you? Was it therapeutic for you?
It has definitely been therapeutic. It wasn't a whole new lane because when you're working with high school students, mm-hmm. you gotta have cracking jokes. You definitely cracking jokes. So you gotta have a bit of humor in your arsenal of things, you know, to pull out there. Because I'll tell you what, those young people, otherwise they'll have you strangle them sometimes. So
yeah.
You have to have a sense of humor. So I was already doing the comedy in the classroom. What brought it all the way full circle was I wanted to have something that some of the cut-ups, some of the young people could take advantage of as well. When you have a talent like comedy, when you're a comedian, it's a talent like no other. When you can sing, people can hear the singing. When someone can dance, you can see the dancing. Right. If they can play an instrument, you see that, you hear that. But when it's comedy, it's normally annoying. It's normally an upset, and it's not as a wraparound type of, you know, taking it in. So for young people, a lot of times they will be the cut up and they'll be punished for having comedy in their talent, you know? So instead of punishing, I wanted to create something that young people could be embraced, and I could still teach and teach in a different way. So the stage presence and the public speaking, the confidence, all of those different things come with comedy as well.
Yes, that's true. I like that.
Yeah, Jay?
So here's my question. You based in Pittsburgh, Steel City.
Like
Pittsburgh is a very gritty town.
It is.
When you're in a very gritty town, how difficult or what challenges do you find sometimes with having to reach the students, with having to reach your audience? Because in a blue collar town, New York is blue collar, but it's also Wall Street. It's also hustlers. Yeah. It's getting money. It's a combination of everything.
Right. Yeah.
In your town, and I know a couple people out there, I know black and gold is heavy. I see it in your shirt too. Like, y'all always repping. Y'all always repping. I love it. I love it. Y'all always repping.
Every day, every day.
but do you find some challenges, or do you find some hard times in trying to reach or resonate in a big city but very blue collar, with your messaging to your kids, with your performances on stage? Like, talk about that, your Pittsburgh experience and how that works and everything you've been doing. Like, I love the city, I love the energy, but it's different.
Right, I mean, I'm gonna keep it funky. You know,
we like that.
Pittsburgh is a lot of, I don't wanna say bleak, an oppression per se, right, but we are not as together as we could be. I think that the arts here is amazing.
Your mic is doing something funny. I want to make sure they hear you, Mary. Just make sure. I don't know if your mic was doing something on you. I don't know if it's your phone.
Okay. Can you hear me?
You better now. I good. There you go.
Yeah, we hear you.
You good. I just want to make sure they hear you. That's all.
I was saying the cohesion is not all the way there like it could be. I think the arts here is amazing. We have Carnegie Mellon University. We have the performing arts middle schools and high schools. So the talent here is oozing. Yet, little bit of crabs in the bucket type of mentality. People are not as cohesive as we could be as far as helping each other. Everybody here is a hardworking town, so everyone here is hardworking. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh has a history of being a starting place, but not particularly the best staying place. So, you know, there's a lot of
You're breaking up, Mary.
Oh, no. Can you hear me now?
Hold on. Nope. We want to make sure we hear you, sis. Got you, Queen.
Crystal clear.
Okay.
Hold on, it's like a staticky thing, that's all. Go ahead.
All right, so I was saying that Pittsburgh is a good starting place, because they had a history and a reputation for being a good staying place. Maybe, but there's a lot of entities.
Yeah,
maybe, Mary, if you go out and come back in.
Yeah.
Because it's real staticky.
Yeah, it is. I'll try. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, we just want to make sure we get her right. You know, y'all know how.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
I want to hear
we
it.
We do. I felt I asked a good question, because Pittsburgh is a different type of city. If you've been there,
it's racist.
It is.
And, it's racist.
And in each part of the community, there's a heavily rich Black history in that city as well. And not even just personally, but in sports, in industry, musically as well. And I'm always curious because, you know, the three of us come from the city. We all uptown kids.
Yep.
And just having been blessed to have the opportunities to go to different cities, be in different states and different places, like, I always like to try to get a pulse of, like, what's happening in every city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm the type to want to go to the best hood spot to go get food in every city.
You are. JB definitely does that.
Because that's how you get a real essence of, I think, what the people are trying to explain, what the culture is, what the temperature is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to get that good temperature and that good feel and that good pulse of everything.
Yeah, it is. And you
it matters.
You want to make Mary's more, back.
There you go.
Mary, you back.
There you go.
There I we think go. That's better.
And the light is hitting you. The melanin is popping. So,
is it
the lemon pop.
Wait. Hold up. That's that extra yellow on the black and yellow we was talking about.
Black and yellow. Black and yellow.
So yeah
that's saying, way better. That's
talk
way
about better. It.
I got you now. You were saying.
Okay. I was saying Pittsburgh has a history of being a good starting place and not particularly a good staying place. There are a lot of entities here that have sustainable Pittsburgh in mind. So it's getting better. The cohesion is not all there with the arts and things like that. But I think that, again, I think it's something else that's getting better. Pittsburgh is known for being a hardworking city. Yep. There are hardworking sure folks here. If you've been watching the election, Trump loved it here. He was here all the time. There are Trump headquarters like 10 minutes from my house. So he was here in Pittsburgh a lot. And so that says a lot about this city. It says a lot about this region. Pennsylvania as a whole almost went to the Republican Party. So it says a lot about how conservative it still is here. And I'm picking my words, be careful. Because I don't want to give my city a bad name, yeah. You know. But it is not, it's not all the way a melting pot like it could be, you know. But I think that there are some things that are happening to make it better, become more of a mecca, if you will, for all parties.
I think also, too, and I was saying this, you know, we were just talking about just moving back, moving around, things are more progressive. There's a lot of people mad at the Trump thing. You know, I was saying earlier that, you know, he's still acting president and he's still doing things. like, okay, we get it. But this recount and this, so I think there's a transition that needs to happen for the country to understand that all that is over. Because remember, last 4 years, a lot of that confidence was high when Trump was on. People we didn't see jump out of their pocket for years. Now all of a sudden he in office. Now you want to start with me. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like the country needs to make the shift. Power switch. Biden needs to be in position. And I think we need to start to repair the economy and our minds as a country. Listen, you could be racist. You could be black, white, whatever color, but it's time for us to start getting along. You know what I'm saying? Right, Jay? I know we was talking about that too.
And Definitely, we were.
I just feel like, regardless, we might not get along. We might have differences. That's cool, but we still gotta respect each other. I don't get.
We that. Have to
we teach the kids that. We. So it's like I don't understand how adults can't get that. You know.
Because unfortunately, we have so many adults who are so stuck in their ways. Mm-hmm. And Mary, I want to ask you, like, as a teacher, having to deal with those parents. And then people who are the same age as those parents, maybe the same people coming to see your show.
Yep.
Like you have to.
How does that translate to if you have like
exactly?
You know what I mean? When you come,
finish my question.
This goes back to history. You know, us entertaining them has always been. You know, they love us to entertain them, but then they have these feelings. You know what I mean about us, and now they're just so overt about how they feel because Trump evokes all of these emotions, you know. So he, racism has always been there, you know what I mean? These people has always felt this, but he incites it, he evokes it. So it's spiritual, everything is spiritual. So it's like, oh shit, you speaking my language. I'm out here, I'm saying all this shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then those same people come to your shows and they laugh at, you know, our humor, you know what I mean? Everything. They enjoy it, but how does that translate?
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you.
You got more static, Mary. You got more static. Are you, wait, you got a headset plugged in? What you got? What you got over there? What kind of phone is that, boo? What you got over there, boo?
It's an Android.
You know I'm a comedian too. It's just real staticky. And I was wondering maybe you could get on a laptop maybe because I don't want, I don't want, we don't, we, I just, I got want to get into that story. Producer. Yeah. I want to get into that producer lane. I want folks to hear you. So I just want to make sure. All right, cool. Do that. Go ahead. I can edit all this. Don't worry, baby. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. I got it. I think it's important too, I think, to having people like Mary on here, you know, somebody that not only for those that don't know, like she said, she took performing arts. You know what I'm saying? While she's getting switched over, she took performing arts. Now, let me say this. A lot of comedians don't think that that's necessary, but I think that's dope. The fact that you went into it.
It's extremely important.
Yeah, because I know comedy is filled with improv. It's filled with a lot of, I could think of another tagline, but it's a lot of acting, improv, and it's a lot of telling stories. And
stage presence, all of that.
Yes. But to you guys' point, I have a lot of friends and family who went to LaGuardia. Mm-hmm. The one thing about going to like performing art schools mm-hmm. and having been around a lot of performing artists in like my junior high school.
Right.
Shout out to all my good friends who went to LaGuardia and did everything and they all on TV it's doing these things. And they've worked on, what they know how to do is they know how to find their mark. They understand timing. So Tiff, like the nuance of when you're presenting on stage, because they practice so many monologues, mm-hmm. the inflections of their voice, mm-hmm. the understanding of making sure, okay, I have to position myself this way.
Because like when you see Joe on stage, lighting, all of that, cameras. Joe,
yes. So I'm gonna give Joe flowers real quick.
Before you say that, those don't know, I took some performing arts myself. I worked at a high school in the Lower East Side, and I was Friar Lawrence in a Romeo and Juliet play. Two nights.
Okay.
My little acting career pregame.
Okay.
But I really had to like the day nights to cheer. I had to talk like I was really from that era.
Yo, Tiff. Joe just wants somebody to update his IMDb on Expedia. That's it.
Yeah.
We know. Right. On Wikipedia. Right, Jay. On Wikipedia. No.
But
all jokes aside, Joe, that's extremely important on a serious note. Because what you do. It's like when I see Joe perform, Joe knows which angles to look at the people at. He knows which views to get the people to be at. So like, Joe, like I'm 6'2", Joe's like 6'4", 6'3", 6'4".
Wow.
When you're someone of a certain size and height, when you're someone of a certain height and presence, like, and then you're on a stage looking at people, like your angles matter. Just like how women need a million angles for the right picture. Cause you know, Tiff need like 20 takes before she hit them Facebook flicks.
That's right.
And then get all her likes.
And I like my filters. Filters are important. The best one.
And don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that takes the pictures for these ladies in 20.
Oh yeah, forget it.
Talking about why you took it like
that. Do it again.
I don't have double chins. Bitch, that's you in real life. You need a workout plan and some water. That's what you need.
Yo, Joe, though. You play all day.
But that's you in real life.
Of course.
Right.
But to my point though, is that when Joe is delivering certain points or certain punches, like his body language has to reflect looking a certain way.
Fact.
And when you're in performing arts schools, they show you
they teach you all of that.
So even without him saying it, his nonverbals are hitting you just as much as what it is that he is saying.
Yeah.
So that's extremely important.
Break it the fuck down, JP.
I'm trying to have the people be clear.
But seriously.
Where's Mary at? Well, she said she was going to another room. What she said?
No, she said she's going to retry her Zoom. But the good thing is, the first part was better. It just got staticky. I'm wondering if it was the phone.
Yeah.
Maybe there was the headphones connected because it sounded like a mic. But
yeah.
I suggest everyone use the computer.
She's also advocate. That's what I wanted to ask.
So we're going to get him back on.
I think T.I. jumped in.
I want to ask about the advocate work she does.
We finishing everything up.
Nah, Jay, if you got to go to the draft party, we get it. You know what I'm saying?
No. I'm good. I just wanted to give my updated sports report. No trades.
No trades.
Nothing significant has happened yet, Joe.
She said, our producer, in-house producer over here, Gray said, all the good players is going, so I ain't watching it no more. He's like, it's over. They already got drafted. A good segue till we get Mary back on.
Mm-hmm. You know,
the dating is different. You know, Tip was talking about Layla trying to set up
with a sugar daddy. I'm damn near sugar mama age. She trying to give me a sugar daddy. We're supposed to do sugar daddy.
Whoa.
You look 30, all right?
Calm you do. Thank you, Joe. 30. Thank you, Joe.
That's true.
Thank you, Joe. All yes, right. You do.
What I'm saying is, if you wasn't really dating anybody or really consistently dealing with nobody, you see how we're consistently dealing.
Consistently.
How does that work coming out of the pandemic when you got to be safe? What do y'all think?
I don't even know how to date. I don't.
Cut it out.
I'm so awkward.
Joe, we go 2021, because I know we've been talking about a long time.
We're
going to update Tiff's Instagram.
LinkedIn.
Look.
Whatever. Dating okay? profiles, whatever.
Everything.
We lining it all the way up.
Yeah.
I really don't know how to date. It's just like, I don't have the patience.
All right, hold that thought. Mary's back. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to the topic because we got to finish this. Me and Tiff going to finish this, but we got Mary coming back in here.
Yeah, we going to finish this.
We going to get this right.
Mary,
sure yeah, right,
my people. There we go, Mary.
How's that?
Third time in the
chat. Can you hear me?
Say your ABCs. Yes. Let's
say
see.
Your ABCs.
A, B, C, D.
All right,
you good.
Okay. So, you were saying, I'm going to set it back up. You were talking about PA and you were talking about, you know, the climate, everything. You were talking about being an educator. And that's going to lead us probably to your advocacy work and into your production work, because after a while, you just want to start creating things that's better. So talk about mm-hmm. your advocacy work in the community and how that got you to start producing comedy shows and stuff like that.
I have always done like community service, different types of work around homeless and hunger, trying to help the homelessness and hunger in my community and around my community. We are now linked up with No Heroes Left Behind. So we're working with the military veterans as well and trying to help them in their needs with food and clothing and shelter. And there's an abundance of needs that are there for that. I started with the food bank, and then we moved with the military veterans. It has been an opportunity again that whole families can take advantage of. So we have done it as comedians, and then we have involved within the community as well to help with. Ask me your question again, because I forgot the first part.
The first part, no, I mean, you know, a lot of, you know, I think you've answered it. Your advocacy work and where that's come from and your drive. I mean, you definitely seem like a person that's just naturally want to help people. I could sense that, you know, and that just makes even more sense as an educator. So how did you get into producing the comedy shows and become, you know, somebody that's like, nah, I got to start producing? And how did you get that itch to kind of create in the comedy lane?
It came full circle with doing the comedy, and naturally I just started putting shows together. Again, that was something that I was always doing, just never paid, never official title or anything like that. I always loved putting different productions together, shows together, even in college. We did like African dance, things like that. So I was always putting shows together. What brought it full circle was the fact that comedians, traveling comedians, need work, need stages, and in a lot of instances need help as well. So this became a production company, if you will, because we created stages and opportunities for traveling comedians. We created an opportunity to bring more flavor to the Pittsburgh area. Yes, so we have comedians more than just from Pittsburgh. We have comedians come from other places. We've been able to connect with the comedy
venues here in Pittsburgh and other venues. Thus, we're moving. We're doing a show in Atlanta, Georgia now. And it's worked out because even traveling comedians, far as finding an employment and keeping regular employment when they want to be comedians regularly. Yep. So it is, in fact, showing people how to keep on working and keep the stages, even throughout this pandemic. Amen. The Pittsburgh Black Comedy Association has been able to provide opportunities, entertainment opportunities, and opportunities for performers. We work with just more than just comedians. We work with music performers as well. And we like to marry different forms of art. So we'll marry comedy with music, with spoken word, with different things like that together.
I just looked them up. They're on here. Make sure y'all check them out. Pittsburgh Black Comedy Association. That's y'all.
Has there ever been a show, I'm asking the comedians, has there ever been a show, a production where they did comedies with a band opposed to a DJ? You know, they do spoken words with a band, and I've been to one of those. Ooh. And that was dope. So I wonder how would that work if it was comedy with a live band?
Go ahead, Mary. You can answer that.
That's generally what we'll try to do. And it works out really, really well. And because art is art, and it will minister, it will still heal, it will still open. And it's coming in through the same eye gates and ear gates. And so it is, in fact, the art coming together. People respond very well. Maybe if you're not the comedy fan, but you love music, or if you're a music fan, but you love the comedy more, or if you have the spoken word, or if you have the different forms of music as well. So you may come in this type of fan, but you'll leave a whole different type of fan, and getting to know different forms of artists. Something I wanted to go back to before the phone was cutting out here. I wanted to ask you, how did you feel as a woman? Do you feel like this is the year of the woman? Do you feel like with Vice President Harris coming in and Biden coming in, do you feel like this is a benefit to women?
Come on, Tiff.
I'm not really a fan of Kamala Harris, but I do feel like this is the year of not just the woman, but mm-hmm. us as African-American, Black and brown people to just kind of like bet on ourselves now, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what I think this is the year of. No more like changing your whole mindset of what work should look like, what family life should look like, you know, just making your own, creating your own lane, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. You know, even for the students, like my daughter, with school, what school is gonna look like, what college may look like, because she's mm-hmm. thinking about college a lot, and she's tired of online school. And I'm like, well, this might be what it is moving forward. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I just think that this is the time for reinventing yourself. Yep. Completely, you know, whether you're a woman or a man, it's just mm-hmm. give us a whole new way of thinking to get us out of that slave mentality, plantation mentality, mm-hmm. and saying, look, you know what, we're gonna do this ourselves.
Yeah.
Because what else do we have to lose? So it's not really for me woman or man, because I think that we all need one another.
Mm-hmm. I agree with the needing one another, but I personally do feel like this is an opportunity for the Black woman to see herself in a different light, to see mm-hmm. herself in positions like never before. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I think that all good things come with Black women involved. I do believe that the Black woman, you don't have any type of success if you don't have the Black woman involved. I do believe that this country has recognized that for some time. You know, Mammy used to sew the socks, and she used to cook the meals, and she used to nurse the children and everything. So the Black woman has always been looked to as the strength, as the backbone,
the creator,
as the producer, as the, you know, so that is where I'm coming from as well with that. As a producer.
Oh, yes, I do agree with you on that.
Right, I do. I see a new day coming, and it is something that we can visualize at least now when you see people taking office and taking positions in different ways. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
Well, speaking of that,
even with everyone, we are becoming more aware, you know, with our mental health, you know, our physical health.
Yeah.
We're taking care of ourselves a whole lot better, and we are normalizing now that therapy is good, you know. So I think that we are doing what we should do to elevate ourselves, you know what I mean, on all aspects, mentally, spiritually. And I think that we're all becoming more aware of self, whether it's through yoga, you know, meditation, whatever it is, we're doing a whole lot more self-care. So I think that's beautiful.
I agree with you Tiff. Mary, I just want to say I was a little creep. I was looking up your stuff. You work with a lot of comedians that New York City has been fortunate enough. And you put a lot of, like you said, you've given a lot of traveling comedians a lot of work. People don't know that. You need to find out more about the Pittsburgh Comedy Association. I got one more question. JP got one more before.
Can I ask the question, Joe? Which I always love to ask our,
of course.
When we bring a dope comedian on, Mary.
Mary,
if you can touch the stage, yo, you know, and I say it like that because listen, my grandmother's name Mary,
now,
but that nobody ever calls her that.
Now right, I can hear you. Yeah. Okay, I can hear you now. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so here's the thing: if you could put five comedians of your dream to be on a bill with, who would they be?
Great question. Let's go, man.
And who's the headliner?
Oh,
yes.
The follow-up
question. Yes. Yes, Tiff. Yes, Tiff.
What's the other four comedians?
And who's the opener? Who's the headliner?
We put her on the spot. Afterthought Podcast just put Mary on the spot. Mary Cruz is with us right now. She's about to name.
We do. This is what we do, Mary. Right now.
What's going on?
Hold on. Try it came back. They don't want you to be great. They don't want you to be great. Yes. Try that again.
The devil is a lie.
I can hear you now.
Right? Staticky.
It's just staticky. Okay. We're going to work through it. We almost done. It's okay.
Okay. Aries Spears. Definitely Lunel.
Yes.
I'm a cat fan. I love Cat Williams.
Cat Williams. Yep.
This is my dream. So I'm bringing Barnett back.
I can't hear you.
We can't hear you. Yeah, they don't want you to be great tonight. The devil is a liar. We see you. We rebuke you. All right?
Exactly. I gotta hear this. I wanna hear this.
Go ahead, try it again, boo. We're here.
And I like to be
okay.
So who?
Lunel, Aries Spears,
Cat Williams.
Lunel, Tiffany, Aries Spears, Cat.
Okay.
And me. You said that.
Did you say Tiffany Haddish?
Yes, she did.
Oh.
Well, I appreciate you, sis. Even with the technical difficulties, it's all love. Don't worry. My production team, we're going to chop this up. We're going to still make it, and we're going to bring you back for a follow-up episode. So don't even worry about it.
Most definitely.
I need y'all to see what she's doing. Make sure
you got to have her on the comedy one.
Oh, of course.
We do.
Comedy shows, and I think you would be, I think you are a dope already. It's funny how we get to meet like this under these circumstances. So, in a way, it's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? So it allows us to work. But make sure y'all follow her on Facebook. Follow her, support her. Pittsburgh Comedy Association. If you're a comedian looking to get some work, this is the lady that you need to be cool with. All right, buy her some lunch. You know, do something nice for her so she can look
out. And Mary, tell us what you have coming up next.
Yes, what you got coming up next?
And has it been postponed due to the BS that's happening, or is it still on?
It's still on next Tuesday, November 24th at 8 p.m. at the Uptown on the corner.
I know that place. I was just there doing a show with Gerald Kelly. We did 4 shows with my guys. So
it's that's why I thought you two knew each other already.
When I did my research and I saw she knows the Janet Dollars, the Mario Torres, the K-Dubs. You know that whole streak and band of Atlanta.
Oh, she know the whole gang. She know the whole gang.
So I definitely gotta reach out to you and get you back, and we're gonna get you on a virtual comedy show so we can get some laughs and see you do your thing.
Cause that's definitely.
Appreciate you, and I thank you for coming on. You have a good night, sis.
Thank you, Mary.
Appreciate you.
That is Mary. Woo! She is dope. Make sure y'all follow. Go on Facebook. Yes. I tagged her on the post. Don't worry
please
about it.
Please do.
Check out what she's doing, y'all. All right, love.
Thank you. Please do. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes. Mary.
She's really nice. Listen, I like her.
There aren't too many Black producers and funny Black female comedians in the game, right? Especially in Pittsburgh. Like, who would have thought that? You know what I'm saying? So I feel you.
That's a hard city and a hard town to come up in for anyone.
It is.
Not for anyone.
To talk about a Black woman in this game where it's so critical and to see her thriving.
Yes.
Y'all really may not understand how dope.
Right.
It
may hit you next week. You're like, Joe has.
Oh, yeah. But to understand the magnitude of what she's doing in a market like that, in a place like that, where she has to face so many obstacles.
Yeah. So
Mary deserves her flowers, real talk.
Shout out to Mary.
My flowers in the living room.
I just feel like we got to get her back. Check her out on my virtual shows. I'm gonna get to her after this show. Looking at December, I would love to get her on a virtual show so we can hear a set.
Yeah, you definitely have to, because I want to see her in action too.
Shout out to my people on Livid. Those are like my sponsors because they pay me, so I gotta pay the bills.
Joe, Tiff,
what up?
I got sponsor news. Can I break it?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Let me set it up for you. Exclusive.
Sponsors.
Exclusive on the Afterthought Podcast with JP.
I have on great authority to say that we, the Afterthought Podcast, will now be getting a paid sponsorship from the one, the only, world famous, Food Network recognized own, Lloyd's Carrot Cake.
Okay.
I have that lined up. I wanted to surprise y'all real quick. We got the money. We got the bread.
We got to talk about it. Somebody gonna need us to do something. We got to sing and dance and sing.
No, we don't. We're going to tell everyone to be able to get their Thanksgiving dessert orders in, their holiday season orders in.
And I got to say, Tiff
has
said
bread is in.
Tiff said this before. We should have a lane for people for advertising. I know Tiff deals with the radio show. She does.
They want it. I received the bread.
Okay.
And we are going to make that happen. So I'm going to send that to you, Joe. I wanted to surprise you guys on air.
Listen.
Oh, that's so dope, JP. You know,
but we got it.
JP just got us oxtail dinner, y'all. Shout out to JP.
Yeah. Send it to Sarah.
I love y'all. I just want one. I had the conversation, full transparency. Mm-hmm. That is my family's bakery. We do amazing things. Joe knows the vibes. Tiff, you got to try it.
I'll be there to try it.
And when I had the opportunity and when everyone said, we'd love to do it, we're here
That's
for
so
you.
Dope.
This is the blessing of having amazing family, friends, loved ones to hold
you
down.
You gotta send us the address so we can send thank you cards.
We gonna do all of that.
Okay.
You know, we got, and we got the location in East Harlem. We got the location in Riverdale.
We should do a commercial, a jingle. We should do like a, some sort of like video.
Listen, when we do the live show,
yeah, send me a video. I can make something, put something.
Joe. When we do the live show, when we're all together, they were willing to sit here and say we could sponsor some cupcakes to give out to our guests.
So here's the good thing.
That's dope.
I was saying this before you came on. I was with Stiletto in Baltimore. And she had the podcast. Shout out to Stiletto again. Her show was dope in Baltimore.
Shout out to Stiletto.
She's mad funny. I got to see her again.
Yeah, she's hilarious. Right.
She's crazy.
And Combo is the name of her podcast that she does Tuesday nights here on Facebook Live.
Oh, I got to watch it.
She did it before the comedy show. So the podcast was about an hour and a half, and then the comedy show started. So there's ways for us to legitimately use our platform to do the podcast first. And then do the live show. So it's a married thing that when once.
Oh, can we? Joe, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but can we get some of our favorites on?
Shout out to JP for yelling like he got an ear infection.
I know.
Nah, because I'm excited. Y'all don't understand. I'm excited.
You might hit her. You know that. You might hit her. I'm messing with you.
Yo, I'm excited. Because we got a sponsor. Wait, the Knicks got a good draft pick.
Are you in one of those high school stalls right now with the black?
Nah. I got good drywall. I'm in another bedroom. I'm in good drywall.
Our favorites on, like, what do you mean?
Comedians that we had, like, different guests, Tiff.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. Like, can we talk, like, I don't know if I should name names or not, but I'd love to have people like Rick. I'd love to have Mary.
I'm thinking of.
I'd love to have our UGK fam.
Y'all want to do like a holiday, like a I mean, obviously we got Thanksgiving coming up. We got a show next week. We could open it up to just people popping in, special guests, and you don't know who's gonna hop in. We could do that. We could also do that for Christmas too.
Joe, I'm talking about in person. Like, can we have a best of the afterthought?
Oh,
along with UGK on the lineup for when they perform. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The UGK, they all want to come through.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going to see what's good for next Wednesday. I know it's the night before Thanksgiving. People going to be cooking. So I'm going to still do it. I'm going to be in Cali, but I'm going to have my camera set up and all that. So, I mean, we can
do
it next Wednesday.
So here's the thing. You're going to be in Cali for Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tiff and I are going to be in the city.
I'm possibly going to be driving, right? So then,
no, that's fine.
Mine will be on the road.
I'm not on the road.
Go ahead. How long you in the West Coast for?
Tiff, I wish I would have known that. I would have. Well, nah, because I got to be out there for some stuff, some work.
Joe, how long you going to be out on the West Coast again? Because you see, our fearless leader, he's bi-coastal. We still have to arrange our photo shoot.
We should do like AZ, Nas, and Foxy Brown.
Oh, some firm joint?
Dusty like ass firm. Foxy Brown.
No, firm. That crew was solid.
But she's mad dusty.
Wait. We not going to give Inga all that smoke. Foxy had bars, though.
She got bars. Lyrically, you can't fuck with her, but she's tight dusty. We talking about photo shoots.
Wait.
We not talking about bars.
Shout out to JP.
I don't
want to
be dusty.
Shout out to JP for getting the sponsor.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yes.
We appreciate you, bro. And we got a care package from the Come Up crew coming your way.
Nice.
The address. We got a nice little care package. I was going to surprise you, too, but I said, damn, I don't know his address, so I got to ask him. I said, damn, fuck it.
Okay. So what we have to do is we have to put our care package together for one of our listeners from our different guests. We have to put together our holiday care package. So
right
for Kwanzaa, Christmas, Hanukkah, because here on the Afterthought, we celebrate life.
And I want to give away a gift card to like somebody with kids.
Definitely.
I want to give away a but I think we for Christmas.
We have enough of our guests and our sponsors to put a nice care package together, and we got to get this raffle lined up. So stay tuned. We got to figure that out.
Stay tuned. And before we, you know, our last segment, I kind of harped on it. I got to bring this up. I'm going to bring it back one more time. Dating is different. coming out of the COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to my people on Live It. We on Facebook Live. We on the Afterthought Podcast. We
JP look like he having a good time dating. He's dancing.
I want to ask you, Tiff. Is dating going to be different? Because you said what is dating? I know you was joking, but like, what is your mindset?
She don't sound like she was joking, Joe.
What do you think the mindset should be with dating post COVID? Because we don't know when post is, but that's like, that could be from now until Thanksgiving next year. So what do you think it should be like? Are you open to like Zoom dates? Like, is it going to evolve? Is dating? I'm just saying, how do you get to know somebody if you got a mask on?
How do you get to know somebody over Zoom? Yeah,
I'm saying, you know, talk to the notion of that. How do you feel it's going to look dating after post COVID?
I really don't know.
I got a question to that. I don't think that
Zoom dating, like in the beginning, I don't think that's bad at all. I think that that's great. It's like, instead of texting, you know what I mean? Now you get to see body language. Now you get to see, hear voice, you know what I mean?
I agree with that.
It's really important. If you are a spiritual person, you get to read vibes and spirit. Yep. It's not just through,
you know,
texting. So that's not too bad.
That's just an
But
incident,
as
y'all.
Far
that's
as in person, incident. I don't know. I don't know what you should expect.
I got a question, Joe.
Because I think I know what Jay's going to ask. Go ahead.
I got a question. First, I want to say to Tiff's point, I think it can work because we've lost the art of the conversation. Everybody just texts. Mm-hmm. And everything that she talked about, like having a verbal discussion, understanding cues, like not talking over people, having a free-flowing conversation.
I agree.
Eye contact, even virtually, you can read eye contact, body language. All of that's important.
Facts.
What I was gonna ask you though, Joe, is how can we really determine how different dating can be when so much of dating today is based on swiping left or right? And it's very virtual rather than the actual in-person interactions.
Well, for me, I've always been an in-person individual because a lot of things I need to see. I just need to see how you are in social events, like around folks, how you carry yourself. That matters. Somebody asked me the other day, what do you see in a woman when you first see them? And I always get a physical, people always get the physical attribute, something on the outside. I'm like, a lot of it you don't see right away. When some of the most important stuff, it takes a while. And I think coming back to your question is like,
that's true.
I think you really, no, not, you don't really have to do anything. Now it allows you time for somebody to work to get to know you. Because mm-hmm. now you got to text me. You got to call me. You might have to Zoom me or FaceTime. Zoom is more like we really just sitting here. If you got a FaceTime, you don't need Zoom. I'm just saying for those that don't have it, it's creative. So I'm saying like, to the notion of that, it's gonna be different. It'll allow us, just like in the pandemic, it allow us to sit with ourselves and really, you can't say fly shit no more to nobody. You gotta really like come correct. You gotta True. Come correct.
I agree with that, with Joe, what you said about you have to see how people are in person, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
How they intermingle with other people. I feel the same way. I need to know, what's really big for me is, let's say we're driving, I pay attention to how you treat the homeless person on the corner that's begging for change. Whether you believe he wants it for drugs or not, I pay attention to how you right. treat that person. If you're going to be, you know, a person that's willing to just, you know, give the man some money, or you're going to say, fuck him, or I'm not, I pay attention to that because it's just like,
it? You expect him to do every homeless man?
It's back.
Every homeless.
No, I don't expect you to do every. All right, so I had a Karen moment, right?
Or Kanisha
moment. So I'm driving, I'm at the supermarket, right?
Right?
And it was this young white man, right? Young white man outside. He was begging for change, right? So these white women, they look like alcoholics. The white woman said, you know what? You should get a job. you know, there's jobs right now. Meanwhile, we're in the middle of a pandemic. He's a homeless white man. I mean, you know, homeless man, doesn't even matter what race. He's homeless. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And she just finished spending food stamps in the grocery store because I watched her. So she tells the man, you should get a job. That made me so mad because it's like, who are you to tell someone they should go get a job? Just either you make a decision whether you want to help this person out or you don't. You don't get to say anything because guess what? It's not just that easy to go get a job. If he's homeless, most likely he don't have a photo ID, all right, or a birth certificate or whatever necessary documentation to even start a process
or access to
an interview.
Or access to it.
I pay attention to how you treat. You don't have to have something to give, but how you treat that person, what your disposition is to, you know, people that are unfortunate. So I pay attention
Big
to
facts.
Stuff like that.
Big facts.
Big facts. I agree with you, Tiff.
Jay, agree. What you think it would be like? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean, what's your approach now? You know?
Well, my approach is this. I just bank on the fact that I'm 6'2", my hairline's intact. Like,
nigga said, my hairline's still right here. Okay.
I ain't balding.
He don't got the.
I ain't balding. I need to shape up, but everything good. All joke. I say that jokingly, but you know, at the end of the day, it really boils down to just going back to everything that we came up on.
Right.
Just the values and the principles instilled in us.
Right.
So whether you're doing things virtually, talking on phones, like we have to be deliberate. Because when the city shuts back down again and you really can't get around, because you're going to realize some people don't have their places and spaces in order.
Right.
How good is your conversation? Because you have to talk on the phone.
Talk about it, Jay. You just...
good is it? How much can you keep someone entertained? Or how much can you keep someone interested?
So I'm going
to
shoot
that. It's going back to the drawing board, Joe.
Especially somebody like me that gets really uninterested really quick.
I was coming at you with this one.
And to that point, Tiff, people have to understand that, like, you're not here for no BS.
Hell no.
Like, when you see Tiff, like, if you try to talk to Tiff, JP Pro quote, if you try to talk to Tiff, you can't be on no bullshit.
Hell no.
She's not here for wasting her time.
No.
She's got too many things that she needs to take care of.
You need confidence.
And this is the same, sentiment most successful Black women. Most successful Black women don't have the time for bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what? It doesn't have so much to do with success, though.
Elaborate. Elaborate more.
More
talk
to
about
do
it, yeah.
with being solely independent. When you are solely and fiercely independent, it doesn't matter, you know, to what level. But when you are the person that's handling everything on your own, you know, it's really hard to get in. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, I do everything already by myself.
Yes.
And I don't really want to compromise much unless it's worth it.
Yeah.
And it's not a dollar amount. You know,
exactly.
It's about, it's about, are you going to be able to hold the conversation with me? Are you going to be able to keep me interested? You know, it's many different levels. It's not even sex anymore. Sex is not important.
It's not.
And to a certain age, it's not important.
Yeah, it's not. You're absolutely right. And Joe, I'm going to bring it full circle because, you know, I was doing my Marvin Albert.
I got a segment called I Need Help. I Need Help challenge coming after this. So go ahead.
We was talking about the NBA draft. Talking about, you know, me and Joe both coach. And understanding how important it is to work as a team. And the three of us are continuing to keep learning. As much as we have fun and we're doing this, we're still learning to work as a team. Because don't worry, what we're about to be is not where we've been.
Exactly.
It's going to be on a different level. And when you see the greatness and the glow, Don't you can't hop on later. Now I take that same approach in how you're interacting and how you're dealing with someone of the opposite sex or with your partner or significant other. It's going to take time. The work that you're putting in, not what you see now, the work behind the scenes, the due diligence, the understanding of how this has to go, being willing to fall back, to let your partner lead and let your teammates take over when they're having a great game. Knowing when you have to take the ball and take extra shots because the responsibility is on me.
You gotta be unselfish, that's a fact.
When you realize that and you find a person that can compliment you like that, like NBA Jam, that perfect partner to win in the 2-1-2.
Like, I write with the basketball. Like, I write.
The basketball analogies is killing me. I'm like, yeah.
I'm sorry. So, Tip, it's like a good rap duo. So, like, Mobb Deep. Like, you can't really, now that Prodigy's passed away, you can't really let Havoc do a whole bunch of stuff and say it's a Mobb Deep record.
Yeah.
You can't let A Tribe Called Quest do something without Fife Dawg really on it and say this is fully a Tribe record. Mm-hmm. Like, these people add so much to the partnership.
Facts. Well,
so I just use that as examples to be like, there's no Tribe without Q-Tip and Fife. There's no Mobb Deep without Havoc and Prodigy. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to understand where some people have to give and take to make the classic record.
Right.
And both groups have classic records with bigger verses from Prodigy, bigger verses from Havoc, bigger verses from Fife, bigger verses from Q. So in a music sense, to all my hip hop
heads. You just gotta understand what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, and vice versa with your partnerships.
Exactly.
And then don't be, you know, wherever I'm strong and you're weak, I'm supposed to, you know, do what I can, and you learn from my strengths.
And it's not a matter of owing people. Energy. And don't look at it as far as like, well, I got. So if we go out for drinks, don't be like, okay, I bought you 2 drinks this time. You have to buy me 2 drinks the next time. You have to understand that if I'm able to get the 2 drinks this time, because it was my pay week and it wasn't y'all pay week, when it's y'all pay week and it's not mine, or my direct deposit didn't hit, I know y'all got me 2.
I'm gonna say
like, that's the mentality that has to be.
Listen, like you said, teamwork.
Here, when
I have to go to the type of people I like to be around.
Yeah. Y'all ready for this I Need Help challenge?
That's definitely true.
Are y'all ready for this?
Quick,
I need help challenge.
Shout out to Livid. We live on Livid. You've been watching and streaming the Afterthought podcast with us. We live.
What up, Livid?
And JP, Facebook Live. What up with y'all? So I have a challenge that I'm going to pursue now. I'm going to start like this. We all have celebrity crushes. We all have someone that we like.
And this is Alicia Keys.
Now, I have...
Yeah, we know. Yeah, tell him, Tim.
On from Alicia Keys, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wait.
Oh, you... Wait a
this
minute.
This is new.
Everybody shut the fuck up.
Who? Wait. Pause. He stop everything. Yeah.
Let me walk y'all into this.
Stop everything.
Go ahead.
Attention on Joe.
Ready?
Breaking news.
Breaking news on the Afterthought podcast with Joe Hill. I've been finding a liking to this R&B singer more of late. When I say more of late, the last 4 or 5 months. And I feel like this is an obtainable challenge for me. Because before I tell you who it is, I'm obviously building up the suspense. I'm telling the story. When you try to meet a celebrity, it's like, most of the time, it's like, wow, they're on a pedestal. You probably can't reach them because they're so... But this artist in particular, I feel like she's up there, but she's not too high up there. So the artist that I'm talking about, I feel like I can. I just got to set it up. I don't know how. But I've been posting Instagram stories on my storyline. I got you, Jay. And she's an R&B singer. She goes by the name of Snow Allegra. Now,
I love Snow Allegra.
I love her too. And I feel like we gonna see each other. I've already
matter of fact, Joe, Snow Allegra? I put you on to Snow Allegra. Actually,
Snow Allegra is. Listen, that's
put you
my
on to Snow Allegra.
Everybody got their own, but I feel like we gonna bump into each other, and I feel like it's
she's
it's
a vibe. She's a vibe.
A quick conversation, and we gonna be cool.
She's dope.
You know,
Chelsea, he got to crush the Snow.
So what's the I need help? What do you need help with?
I need help meeting her. I need help getting me in the same room as her. That's the help. I have some clout and some cachet, but I feel like this is a team challenge. And maybe we got to take a trip to LA because she's always in LA recording.
Okay.
I do have a sort of connect that knows a producer. So there's a lane, but it's COVID right now. We can't really do anything right now.
All
right.
Yo, no. hold up, Tiff. I'm looking at Snow Allegra.
She's so fly. She reminds me of Sade. So listen.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
So listen, Joe. What are you gonna do if you met Snow Allegra? Because I remember something you said to me a long time ago.
Time out.
No.
Great words. In the great words of a poet. You asking a lot of questions, Chief.
you asking Tracy for Moore, help.
You asking a lot of questions, Chief.
But he asking for help, right?
All right, so I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know
because
what I'm
this is something that you've said. You said you don't care how attractive you are to a woman. If you see her, you not gonna really say anything.
I'm gonna step to her.
So what are we gonna do? Take a trip to LA, go to a studio, for you to sit there and eat popcorn.
We're not doing one of those challenges where it's a hit and a miss, possibly. We may not even see her. No, this is like the universe.
Joe, shoot your shot, Joe. Shoot your shot, Joe.
No, Allegra, if you're listening, I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
But are you going to shoot your shot if you see
her? No, I am. I'm going to try.
Joe Baller, Joe shoots.
I'm going to try to. Look, I can't even dunk in her league yet, and I'm trying to take off. I'm trying.
Joe, you. Joe. Textbook.
I'm aware.
Joe, lay up off the glass, Joe. Textbook.
Right, just
two steps right off the glass.
Who's your celebrity crush?
Jill Scott.
Who's yours, Tiff?
Tupac's my baby daddy. I told that to Layla.
Okay.
Tupac.
Oh.
I believe that.
I love
yeah,
Tupac.
Yeah, I believe that too.
I believe that.
Yo, Tiff was sneaking in the juice.
He was on set. Tiff was on set, B.
Tupac.
He ain't a murderer.
But that's a good thing, though. How do you meet your celebrity crush without, like, you want to meet them. I want to be at an event, and she chilling, and it's like, there it is. There's my opportunity right there. Like, we in the same, you know what I'm saying? You can't just come up on some creep shit. She gonna be like, oh, that's one of my fans right there. Don't worry about him. That nigga's crazy. You know what I'm saying? I want the right vibe set up, but.
You'll make it happen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's our time for tonight. We had an amazing guest, Mary Cruz on, comedy producer, comedian. This is what we do, man. Make sure you follow us at the Afterthought Podcast on all streaming platforms.
Pull up real quick.
To us. You can stream us on YouTube, see all our episodes. Let the gang tell you where you can follow them at, starting with Tiff. How can we find you, Tiff? How can we follow you?
You can find me on Facebook at Tiff Tonto, and you can also check me out in the mornings on WYWM Radio. What's going on?
First of all, you're trying to recreate a Naughty by Nature cover, album cover.
I know.
Yeah. We are album cover. We are teammates from day one. Shout out to my brother Brish. Shout out to my brother Koo. We've been doing this since from the public school era. Again, follow at JPC2 Club. You know the vibes. We are out here live from the draft party. The Knicks did a good job tonight.
They wore their Knicks gear too. Look at them.
Knicks draft party.
Proud Knicks fans. They can wore the shit. Like, come on, Knicks. Come on, Knicks. Come on, Knicks.
What food do y'all have for the party?
Oh, we're going to send you the pick. Oh, hold up, chef. I'm gonna bring the chef in real quick.
They got the chef. Bring the chef on real quick.
Chef, come in real quick.
There's a chef.
Chef, what was for dinner tonight, chef?
Talk to him, chef.
Some chicken Alfredo. no homemade Alfredo sauce.
He's a chef because he said
he talks with his hands, with his palms. He talks with his
palms. Yeah,
that's how you do.
I gotta talk.
That's chef.
But you know, it was. Oh, I thought it was cool. You know,
go ahead, chef.
Chef Bonds. Somebody just said Chef Bonds. If this was my Zagat review, 5 stars. Cause you know.
There it is. Okay.
So what Alfredo,
wait, let the chef finish. What else?
Uptown's finest, Alfredo. Come see us.
Okay. We're gonna hit him up. We're gonna have him cater an event. We're gonna have him cater a podcast.
Yes.
Like, so I
we're gonna have Alfredo and cupcakes, goddammit.
You know it.
Yes.
You know it.
Listen, we are back next Wednesday, Lord willing. I'm down to do it. I'll be on the West Coast, so tune in.
One of the shows I'll cook up for y'all.
Look, now he just hyped. Now I cook for y'all.
I'm gonna have a cook off for them. Ooh.
Hold on.
Yo, Joe, you said you want to cook off.
Joe want to cook off. Joe said he want to cook off, Bristol Joe said, what up?
Listen. Let me tell Vaughn this. Let me tell him this. I tell these jokes, but I can headline any kitchen in the country. You hear me?
Oh, he said I tell these jokes, but I headline any kitchen in the country.
I can headline a kitchen.
We gonna make this happen. We gotta roll. We gonna make this happen.
This has to be a live show because we gonna have to do some taste testing.
We gotta stream.
We gonna do this.
Listen.
The one thing about my brothers and I, we cook. Yeah. Joe cooks. Joe knows I cook. Bristol cook. Sekou cook. Shout out to black mothers who taught us to make sure we gotta eat.
So I'll be there
because
I want to eat.
Oh, it's gonna be jokes, and we're gonna have a good time cooking. So listen.
Oh, we gonna have a good time.
Afterthought Podcast. Follow Tiff. Follow JP. I'm your man Joe Hill. Follow me on Instagram at This Is Joe Hill. Shout out to Anchor. Shout out to Live It. Facebook Live. Y'all been great tonight.
Live It.
And yeah. Y'all be good. I'll see y'all later.
Peace out.
Later.